Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
And we continue. You know, I've had the opportunity, and I always say this, it's such a privilege hosting this show, hosting shows that I've hosted before, and always, you know, having contact with extraordinary people. And my next guest is one of them. I haven't had Robin on the show for a few years now. I think the last time Robin and I chatted was pre-COVID. We always look at things now in the terms of pre-COVID and post-COVID. I can't even tell the difference anymore. It's quite confusing. So it's really, really lovely to have Robin Wheeler back on the show, who is the founder of Be Entrepreneuring. He's an author, and he's just written a new book that will be released in January, and he's here to tell us a little bit more about it. Robin, welcome. Welcome back.
Thank you so much, Nikki, and thanks to Lee and to Hi FM, and really great to be chatting to you again. It's 5 years since we did that, if you remember.
Is that how long it is, Robin?
Yeah, shocking, and five time warp years. But if you remember now, you had me on and I announced my previous book, my previous big book called Death is the Ultimate Orgasm. I announced it on your show. So you were ahead of the curve. And you're that again. You and Lee are so on it. And you're leading the way with this new book as well. So it's really a delight.
Oh, fantastic, Robin. So for our listeners who don't know you, I mean, you have an interesting history in terms of where you are now and where you've come from. So you come from a career in psychology and human resources, and then you had an epiphany in your life, and then you went on this journey of being yourself for a living. Perhaps you could expand on that for our audience.
Well, it was late 90s. I'd at high school kind of realized that psychology was the professional descriptor of what I was feeling within me, my calling, if you like, to in that be a healer, be a helper, help other people, but obviously be on that journey of self-discovery. And psychology for 10 years depicted that. And then I worked in the industrial field in two banks, and that gave me the sense of work and performance and the future of work. And then I had this epiphany where my body, you know, it wasn't to the degree of Edward's testimony there of having a complete shift in his life, but it was where I just couldn't carry on my path. I was doing well in my career, but it wasn't hitting all my spots and it wasn't true enough to me. So my body stopped me and said, stay at home until you figure this one out.
Wow.
And the long and the short of it were, you know, through serious soul searching right down to the depths of sincerity, which is often where we need to get before we listen to the truth. I just said to the universe, you know, what? And it was just right there in front of me, be who you've always been, be who you knew yourself to be when you were young. And so I followed that truth, and it's brought me here, which is 28 years later.
Listen, what an extraordinary journey that is, and very brave. Be yourself for a living. I think you echo the sentiments of many people. You know, there are many people who are dissatisfied. And interestingly enough, COVID has allowed a lot of people to make the shift to kind of reboot and see, who was I, who am I, who do I want to be? And so this be yourself for a living, go back to who I was, is so interesting. Going back 28 years ago, people must have really frowned upon that. I mean, now, currently, people would be going, wow, that's fantastic. But 28 years ago, that was a brave step, and kind of stepping into an unknown. How do you take something like that and turn it into, I mean, I hesitate to say career, turn it into, I don't know, some path moving forward?
I've also struggled to find the right word all this time. It's bigger than all those things, you know. I think what happened there was if I hadn't been pushed, it would never have happened. I would have talked myself into another few years of consolidation and compromise, and next thing looked around and I would have been in a situation where I couldn't take the leap. So the universal intelligence is at work, and often what looks like a crisis, whether it's a global one or an individual one, is a great blessing in disguise, and it turns you into who you're meant to be, which is often about firstly shedding who you were. You know, if you don't, if a snake doesn't shed its skin, it dies. You've got to actually go through a psychological death, and then you've got to create who you want to be. You know, so I just set out, and the first month or two, I just let myself sleep and watch the grass grow, and then I started to sort of get creative. And the more creative I was, the more things I explored, my talents, my interests. I started writing, which has become my, you know, the cornerstone of what I do. And yeah, I just found my own way, you know. And I think it's very much a case of authenticity being individual and you having to find it. It's not something that you can sort of absorb from the outside theoretically. You have to, it's existential, you know.
Well, Robin, we're going to take a break, and then after the break, let's talk about the insights series that you know, part of the Being Yourself for a Living, and then we'll talk about Love is the Key to Finding Your Voice. Wow, love that title. Okay, we're going to take a break, then we're going to play a song, and then we'll be back.
IFM 101.9 megahertz of life.
Well, welcome back to the show, The Dealing Show on 101.9 Chai FM, the show where we connect you through insights, information, and illumination. So lovely to have Robin Wheeler back on the show, founder of Be Entrepreneuring, also an author. Robin, before the break, we were talking about this pretty amazing journey 28 years ago, deciding to leave this corporate successful world and to be yourself for a living, a huge leap of faith. And as you say, writing a lot. And then you came up with your insights series. Just, I know that I think it was 9 titles. Just if you can tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So I'd written 3 books, my first 3 books, and established my publishing business. And then I went through a divorce and there was a break in my kind of focus. And then I was writing a lot for the media, and I had a whole lot of pieces that didn't fit anywhere out in the press, but they were all really good. And then I had this realization that if I sort of brought them together as short, easy to read, accessible, but profound bites, you know, that I could bring them together editorially and finish writing the book. And so I put my first insights book out in 2007, and it was actually quite a profound manifesto for being yourself for a living. And then shortly after that, my dad fell ill and died 2 months later. And so I spent 2 months sort of looking after him and then eventually taking over his affairs. And then with that big shift in life, I just wrote to cope, you know, to process things, and ended up with a sequel, which I actually thought was a bit dark owing to the time it had been written in. I later discovered on revisiting it that it was quite the opposite. But then I wrote a third, and then I put that out in 2009. And then as I just traveled, you know, it's a way of almost journaling. I just write. It's almost like I access a higher consciousness. I carry it around with me. And whenever the muse gives me a precipitation, I grab it and write. And it's like the books put you in touch with your higher self, with more insight. And so I just carried on writing, Nikki, and I'm now on book 29, and I'm going to call it a collection at 30.
That's huge. That is really huge.
And to get them out, you know, like writing them is one thing, because that's, you know, obviously the sort of creative, introspective, expressive side. But then to actually turn them into product and business is another whole sensibility. So I've had to be very patient. But when I look back, when Lee asked me to do a bio for you, you know, obviously with a book coming out, I was going to do press releases, but you guys are ahead there. So you've got me to do it all. And I looked at what I sent you, and I thought, wow, you know, I actually have to admit to myself that there is a serious body of work behind me, and that perhaps I should, you know, give myself some, you know, sense of worthiness that I can actually let life reward me, you know. And I think that's what the new book's about.
That's interesting that you say that. Give yourself the sense of worthiness, credit. You know, yes. And I think it's such a, those are wise words, and especially now, when people look back on the year, when people look back on their lives and people looking forward to the future, how often do we just give ourselves credit? Do we just feel into this worthiness? We're so hooked into, you know, doing the right thing, achieving the accolade, all of those things, and we never, and what we've done wrong. When do we just feel into our worthiness? I love that. Mm. So I suppose that's what love is, the key to finding your voice. Tell us about this new book.
Well, yeah. So on that note of worthiness, I think, you know, I've been very mindful in myself of being the last person on earth to accept my success, you know, and that everything has been about somehow proving something to myself based on feeling, you know, essentially a language that's emerged in the last 5 years in sort of popular culture and psychology is this thing of trauma, you know, childhood trauma. And I know the previous book, Death is the Ultimate Orgasm, central to that is George Michael's story and his mid-80s manager, a man named Simon Napier Bell, who I met in Thailand. And he's worked with artists his whole career. And he says very eloquently that what I've actually said myself in terms of my own words is, you know, genius is, it's inspiration. You've got some sort of talent. Then you have some sort of pain, some sort of trauma. Then you need the courage to go for it, like you said, a leap of faith. And then you need persistence. And those four things bring out your genius. It's not just the talent. It's that actual journey to walk it. And so, I mean, I had visions. I'm sitting now in my ancestral home where as a child I used to visit my grandparents and walk around this garden. And I had this profound sense, I could call it an intuition, but it was just a knowing of how my life would feel when I got to where I'm now, you know. So I've been on this journey of being myself for a living, the corporate world, you know, studying psychology, corporate world, starting my own venture, going into all sorts of different businesses that then started to converge into a, you know, a unique brand, you know. And then my uncle was living in the ancestral home, and I knew at one stage that he would need me to take it over. And I had approached him to do that sort of responsibly, but he had his way of doing things. And the story of it was that this house suddenly needed me. And I was busy selling my other house that I'd been in for 14 years and was struggling to sell it. And suddenly everything shifted and I cleared the one house, cleared the ancestral home, created the life that I dreamt of all the way, came full circle and wrote the book along the way. And that's the new book.
What a story, Robin. That's pretty amazing. That's pretty amazing.
Wow.
From your, and I love the idea of the ancestral home. It says so much. It says a lot. So love the key to finding your voice. What kind of a book is it? Is it, are you sharing stories? We're going to take a quick break and you'll answer this after the break. We've only got a few minutes, but is it advice that you're giving? Is it 3 points, do this and then this will happen? After the break, you can just expand on that, Robin. We'll be back.
I'll do that.
Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Welcome back to the show. I have Robin Wheeler on. He is the founder of Be Entrepreneuring and he's an author. His new book, Love is the Key to Finding Your Voice, coming out end of Jan 2024. Robin, we've literally got a couple of minutes. Tell us what people will find in this book.
I think they'll find themselves, Nikki, because they're central to my work. But this book is particularly intimate. It starts when the one house sold. I've been struggling to sell. I've been to the ends of the earth and eventually it shifted. And if I can just give you an idea, one idea that's indicative of the general essence of the book is the guy that came to buy the house, when as he was leaving, he said, I've got one question. Why are you selling? And I said, well, firstly, I've been in the house 14 years. I've written over 25 books there. That era is over and I need to move on. And I said, but the other side of the story is that my ancestral home in Irene has become available. He says, oh, I'm from Irene.
Oh, wow.
I said to him, that's interesting because my gran taught at the primary school for many years and is quite a legend there. He said, Wheeler. He said he was the neighbor. He's the house next door. He used to He grew up right next door.
Wow.
So that's
okay.
The kind of synchronicity, and the book starts with that. And then it just takes you, it's a very intimate account of my personal process as I travel this journey from clearing that house to setting up this house. And then we end up in Phuket in Thailand, where I always wanted to live. So it's a full circle story of traveling along with me and finding out all these deep realizations and truths about yourself. So there's no how to and three steps, and it's a connection that happens and a transformation.
Beautiful. And I love that you said, you know, people will find themselves in the book through your story. Well, Robin, it's as always so lovely to have you on the show, and all the best with Love is the Key to finding your voice and this next stage in your ancestral home. And I'm sure, you know, as you say, the muse will be there, and I'm sure there'll be many more beyond, way beyond the 30 point that you were talking about. But yeah, Robin, so lovely, and all the best. Have a wonderful Christmas and New Year, and I'm sure we'll be chatting again soon. That's by the way, where can people find Love is the Key? I know it's only launching end of Jan.
Yes, end of Jan will be on international sites, Amazon, and then the South African launch will be shortly after that. So from February onwards, there'll be news everywhere about it, and then it'll be in the shops and online.
Fabulous, fabulous. Robin, thank you so much. Take care.
Bless you, Nikki.
Go well. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye.
So, wow. So, you know, there we had Edward's really inspiring story, his journey, and Robin, his life journey, and writing all of these books, these insights, being yourself for a living, and being brave enough to stand in that place of being yourself. I hope you've been inspired. I hope you've been illuminated, informed. That's what we like to do here on the DL Link Show. For me, Nikki Severini, until I believe I'm going to be away for a couple of weeks. So I will be chatting once again in 2024. God bless. Take care. Be kind to yourself. Be kind to others. And love the life that you're living now. For me, Nikki Severini, until then, goodbye.